and zips his jeans and smiles. The next thing I saw was the telephone. I stood in the middle of a drunken crowd and I called 911 because I needed help. All those visits from Officer Friendly in second grade paid off. A lady answered the phone. "Police, state your emergency." And I saw my face in the window over the kitchen sink and no words came out of my mouth. Who was that girl? I had never seen her before. Tears oozed down my face, over my bruised lips, pooling on the handset. "It's okay," said the nice lady on the phone. "We have your location. Officers are on the way. Are you hurt? Are you being threatened?" Someone grabbed the phone from my hands and listened. A scream. The cops were coming. Blue and cherry lights flashing in the kitchen sink window. Rachel's face, so angry, in mine. Someone slapped me. I crawled out of the room through a forest of legs. Outside, the moon smiled goodbye and slipped away. I walked home to an empty house without a word.
Now we know what happened. Melinda was raped at the party by that guy, Andy Evans. That explains why she's been so tormented ever since. Melinda hasn't told anyone what happened. She's trying to deal with it alone, and it's not working. Rape is a serious crime, and it's not something that most victims can deal with alone. I hope Melinda opens up to someone who can help her. Let's keep reading. We're at the second-to-last paragraph on page 136. It begins, "It isn't August."
It isn't August. The moon is asleep, and I'm sitting on my porch roof like a frozen gargoyle, wondering if the sun is going to blow off the world today and sleep in. There is blood on the snow. I bit my lip clear through. It needs stitches. Mom will be late again. I hate winter. I've lived in Syracuse my whole life, and I hate winter. It starts too early and ends too late. No one likes it. Why does anyone stay here?